This is 89.1 WEMU, and we are now officially in the first day of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Stay Home, Stay Safe executive order. Essential personnel are expected to go to work. We may travel to the grocery stores, doctor's appointments, and to pick up carry-out orders from area bars and restaurants that are still open. But we are also barred from group gatherings of any size outside our homes. It's all part of the effort to slow the spread of COVID-19, and for the most part, it makes good sense. But imagine for a moment if you were now mandated into social isolation and the other person in your home abuses you. Those experiencing domestic violence are living this reality. Our guest today deals with that reality on a daily basis in her professional function. Barbara Neese-May is executive director of Safe House Center, which serves as a shelter and resource outlet for women and children who are domestic violence and sexual abuse survivors. And thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it, Barbara.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, although I have to say it's very strange. Usually you and I are in studio together, and today we can't do that.
The dynamic is changing in all aspects of our lives. How is it changing for you at Safe House Center?
Well, I can say it's like anybody else. It changed, and then it changed again, and then it changed again, and then the plans that we had in place, knowing that at some point there would be the stay home, stay safe order from Governor Whitmer, our state level guidance changed our plans again. But one thing I want to say and be completely clear about, our helpline and critical and essential services remain open to survivors. And no matter what someone is going through, or if you know of someone who is going through and want advice on how to help them, our helpline is available.
And once again, that helpline is 734-995-5444. If you are in immediate danger, please call 911. Barbara, mass closures, record numbers of people not working or having to work from home, that raises tension. It raises anxiety. And those kinds of factors are contributing factors in cases of domestic violence, are they not?
Oh, absolutely. We have been talking to the survivors that we serve that we know that are still in the situations, the safety plan in the midst of this pandemic. We want survivors to call us so that, first of all, we can be a help and support. We also recognize there are a lot of survivors that can't call us because of the fact that they don't have any time to themselves. So we're talking to them about creative ways of reaching out to Safe House Center.
What are some of those creative ways?
Well, first of all, we do have a messaging function through Facebook, and that is something that while we safety plan around any kind of communication with us, that is one option. Also, if they're going out to walk the dog, or if you're on different sleep schedules, if there's a possibility of doing that, if your email is secure, if texting is secure, we're talking to survivors about the variety of ways of how to reach out to us. And then we're also talking about even more alternate ways that we can't necessarily disclose, because David, is probably not a surprise to you that assailants listen to your radio show, and we're trying to protect survivors as much as possible.
Then I'm not going to go any further down that line. What I do want to explore is one of the hallmarks of abusers is creating social isolation and removing family, friends, access to phones, internet, and the ability to get outside and ask for help. Is that going to change? Is that dynamic going to become even worse as we're in an order to stay in our homes?
Yes. As this was evolving around the world, we were doing research of how this was going in other countries. In particular, in China and Italy, we were able to get reports that there were more calls because of domestic violence. However, they are organized very differently to provide supportive services to survivors. Meaning that there are fewer programs in Italy and in China and in Spain and other countries that are very affected by the pandemic. And so while one thing we are getting a lot of questions about, are you seeing calls going up? What I can say is that we have put together a plan to be prepared for calls rising and survivors needing more services over the phone and in shelter and in other ways, as well as equipping our staff to be able to continue to provide counseling services, legal advocacy, personal protection order assistance, and things like that.
We're talking about domestic violence and the impacts of restrictive orders on survivors with the executive director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. Barbara Neesmay is executive director and our guest on 89.1 WEMU. And you talk about that calls haven't yet gone up, but you have a plan in place to accommodate that. How full is the shelter at Safe House right now?
What I can say is that we're encouraging survivors, if they need help and support in shelter, to call us.
Got it. As we consider those plans moving forward, how do you, as an administrator of this shelter and resource center, balance the public health needs with the survivor needs?
Just like anybody else, any other program is, and we're working very closely with the public health department, with the state health department, to ensure that we're doing everything possible for the health and safety of our staff and the survivors that we serve.
Without identifying anyone, what are some of the stories you've heard since the pandemic hit the state of Michigan and changed the way we go about our daily lives that perhaps show us exactly how the ability to access those services or to put a plan in place to protect yourself are impacted?
Oh, my gosh. This is where it's heartbreaking, David. We're hearing from survivors where the assailant is blaming them or saying to them, I know you have it, and, you know, you're infecting all of us and you're going to kill our children. They are blaming them for losing their jobs. I mean, the thing is that assailants will use any opportunity to minimize and further abuse and control a survivor. And this pandemic is no different. And what also is continuing to happen is that assailants think that they aren't doing anything wrong by continuing to do this. What makes it even more dangerous is that part of a safety plan for a survivor is to identify times when they're away from the assailant. Now, there are some survivors that are never away from the assailant, and I want them to know that we hear them and we're there for them and we understand that they've been living this already. However, there are some survivors that don't, that had time away, were able to call and be in touch, and that's been taken away from them.
During this time of public health crisis, you not only have to deal with the issues of domestic violence and sexual abuse, but you're also charged with protecting those who are in rather close confines within the Safe House shelter. So what measures have been taken to prevent an outbreak of coronavirus within the walls?
Well, we've all read a lot about the preventive measures that we can all be taking to prevent the spread of the virus, such as washing hands, disinfecting, reducing contact, and doing everything that the Washtenaw County Public Health Department is recommending, the CDC is recommending, and the World Health Organization. And we are working very closely with residents on those precautions.
What I know is that fundraising for any nonprofit, for any institution, is being dramatically affected as people consider their pocketbooks and the economy takes a downturn, and we're not sure when that's going to come back. Certainly going to impact Safe House Center as well. Beyond fundraising, what measures can the public take to be supportive of survivors of domestic violence and perhaps provide resources that will make more available the help required?
Oh, absolutely. First, I need to share that our walk-up donation drop-off is suspended until further notice, and we're keeping our website and our social media updated with that. But we do have an Amazon wish list, and it does include the supplies that we're worried about running out, and it's not just cleaning supplies and hand sanitizer and soap and things like that. It's also things like sheets and bedding and laundry detergent. People can easily get onto our Amazon wish list, which you just go into Amazon, put in Safe House Center, and find it. There's also information on our social media channels, or send us a gift card, because every day we're realizing, oh my gosh, we need this, or because this isn't available anymore in the stores, we need this. Because while we do get some supplies from the county and we get food from food gatherers, because of people stocking up, we're finding it difficult to get our hands on some of the supplies that we know we're going to be needing.
We will make sure we include all that information on our website as well. Thank you so much for the time and sharing the information today, Barbara.
Thank you so much, David, for all that you're doing to bring awareness about this pandemic that's deeply affecting our community. I appreciate it.
That is Barbara Neese-May, Executive Director of Safe House Center. If you are in need, Safe House Center staffs a 24-hour-a-day helpline at 734-995-5444. If you're in immediate danger, please call 911. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.